for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, July the 3rd, 2017. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the morning, teaching on The Curse of the Bastard.
Let's pray. Lord, your word says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And I thank you this morning, Lord, that we are here. We are here and we are looking for you to show yourself strong this morning in the lives of all of us who are here and even those who will hear on CD, DVD, whatever. Lord, we thank you that you're able. You're the only one really able to touch us where we need to be touched. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst, and we welcome you here this morning. We thank you for joining us as your word goes forth, and as your power goes forth to deliver us and set us free so that we can better live out your plans and purposes for our lives. Father, that your sons and daughters be made manifest in the earth for the furtherance of your kingdom in this time. Right now, I bind the strong man over every person. I break your power to interfere with this meeting this morning. I command every tormenting spirit to go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit from the kingdom of darkness, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out. Every spirit that would hinder the hearers from hearing your word and receiving it, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I loose the spirit of God, the spirit of truth, the spirit of understanding, ministering spirit, and the Father's love to each one, and call on the mighty warring angels to war in the heavens over each one, so that they have an open heaven to receive everything that you have for them and for me. I cover each of us with the precious blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I call for mighty angels to assist us. And we thank you right now for what you will do because of your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we sing, "Oh, how he loves you, oh, how he loves me." And I don't care how many times you hear that word. If you have this spirit working in your life, you're not going to feel it. For many years, I had a generationally inherited curse, which we dealt with a lot on Friday night. But I wanted to specifically pick this one out and pick it apart so that we can cast it fully out of your life. It's a destructive curse, and it held me in bondage for the first 30 years of my life. And a curse, let me tell you the difference between a curse and a spirit of something, an evil spirit. A curse is a doorway that opens you up for other spirits to come in. So it's the doorway. So we want to get rid of this doorway forever so that these spirits are not coming in and out anymore. And that is possible because Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.'" This spirit is a strong man. It's the curse that brings a spirit that becomes a strong man. It's a 10-generation curse. So it's been operation for 400 years. Unless it's broken, it will perpetuate over and over again. And then you start over with year one to 400 all over again. And the reason it's able to perpetuate is because usually it's a closely guarded secret in a person's life. There are many things that we talk to our children about with their daddy or their grandfather or your great-grandfather or your great-uncle or so-and-so. And we have these fond memories and of things that they were good at, their skills and their gifts, and they may be well-known in the community because of those things. And yet, those things that are secret are not revealed. And many times, these are the things that destroy family. It's like your house having termites. If you don't deal with the termites, they can bring your house down. You know, sometimes people, especially my family, you know, Jesus had the same problem. He could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. And many times I get those kind of things from my family, and it's like, well, you never talk about anything good. All you ever talk about is demons and curses and all these things. And I said, Well, let me ask you a question. Are the things that are going well for you causing you problems? No. That's why I don't talk about the good stuff. It's not causing us problems. We know God is good, but it's the things that are causing us problems that bring us here. Most people show up here because they have problems. They may go to church every Sunday. They may go to their pastor for help. They may go to a psychologist for help. None of these things are working. And so finally they're thinking, you know, I think this might be demonic. So they start looking on the internet for demons. And guess what pops up? Lake Hamilton. Many times I ask people, how did you find out about Lake Hamilton? Well, I was searching about demons on the internet. Yeah, that's a good place. Thank you, Jesus, for that part of the internet. Most of the time, this curse comes upon us generationally, but sometimes it can enter circumstantially. Those having it are totally unaware of how it is affecting their life. This curse can prevent people from being saved. This curse can prevent people, if they do get saved, it can prevent them from going deeper with God and Jesus, can even hinder them from being able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is an Antichrist spirit, but I'm not talking about the Antichrist spirit. But there is an Antichrist spirit that works with this curse. The best that you can have, if you have this curse many times, is religion, religious spirit. So let's take a look at this curse this morning. It's mentioned in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, which says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." That's the curse that was hindering me. Even though I was saved, filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I was not convinced that God loved me. I was not convinced even that my mother and daddy loved me. When I got married, I wasn't even convinced that my husband loved me. Because there's an unloving spirit with it. It blocks you from receiving love the way you want to and need to. And it also blocks your ability to show love to others the way you would like to. All of these were working in my life. The definition, the Hebrew definition, which this scripture was in the Old Testament, the definition for the Old Testament and the New Testament word is sometimes different. The Hebrew definition for bastard means to alienate, a mongrel, that is, anyone born of a Hebrew father or mother and a non-Hebrew. If you were born in that day, if you were a Hebrew and you took a wife of another nation and had a child, that child was considered a bastard, not even allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. When God's people came together, they were not allowed to be in the presence of the people. No, that seems cruel. But God had reasons for that. You know, every rule, every law, everything that He has given us in His Word is for our good if we would just do it, if we would adhere to His Word. But as we know from reading the Old Testament, the Israelites rebelled. The Hebrews, they rebelled against God's Word. They did what they wanted to do. Here we are, this is the 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. And we celebrate, we have a national holiday for our independence. Well, the independence that we celebrate is good. We celebrate the independence from England and all those things in history that I didn't pay any attention to. I do know it has something to do with that. But spiritually speaking, we have a spirit of independence, even from God. You know, we'll follow some of the stuff, but when it comes to this, oh, well, wait a minute. No, I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, I said Friday night, we don't want to own our sin. We don't want to own it. We do it, but we don't want to own it because of that independent spirit. Okay, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 3, it says, this was God's word, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, as the Hebrews were traveling from one land to another. They're going to be going through all these peoples that were not Hebrews. And God said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto their sons, neither their daughters shalt thou take unto your sons. But they rebelled. They married whoever they wanted to. 2 Corinthians 6:14, we're told, be not unequally yoked. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now we have some of those examples. We look at Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab was the king. He was the king. He was not supposed to marry somebody. He took the daughter of a Baal worshiper, a Satan worshiper. He rebelled against God's word. And look, all of these people started out good. They started out good. But then they started rebelling and doing what they wanted to do. And their end was not so good. Look at Solomon. Solomon started out very good, but he didn't end so well. Look at Samson, and then he took Delilah, and his end was not so good. You know what? It's not really important how you started. It's going to be how you end. And we need to adhere to God's word. We heard it. We've heard it as a theme. Get right with God while you can. Not long ago, God showed me that the days of Ananias and Sapphira are coming. When those who present themselves as men and women of God, but they're having a secret life on the side, don't be surprised if we don't see these people starting to drop dead. Lying to the Holy Ghost. Not a good idea. Okay? And then in the New Testament, in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 5. Okay, now this, The Old Testament scripture that I read, that was literal and physical. The people who were born from a mixture were not allowed to go in with God's people into the temple. Now, in the New Testament, it's not literal and physical, but it is spiritual because it's a law. It's spiritual. So that if you have this curse coming down your family, they don't literally, we are not held from going into the congregation of the Lord, but it hits you spiritually. Just not. Either you're not interested, totally not interested in the things of God, or you're interested in the things of God and you're seeking God and you're doing everything you know to do and you just can't ever seem to get there. You forever feel like you are not part of the family of God. You're on the outside looking in, wishing you could be one of those. Most people who suffer with this spirit will church hop. They go from church to church to church to church to church. Because everywhere they go, they're rejected. There is a spirit of rejection with this curse. That's what makes it a curse. You're rejected. Or you feel rejected. Like I said, I was the baby of the family, doted over, you know, daddy's little darling. But guess what? I didn't feel loved. Did not feel loved, no matter how much they told me. And I knew here that I was loved, but I didn't feel the love. Now, let me tell you something about feelings. You've got to be careful with feelings. Feelings are what we experience in the flesh. And the flesh likes feelings. They like goosebumps and, you know, all these things. That's in your flesh. We are to discern things by the Spirit. You might get a goosebump. Well, first of all, you're not a goose. Can I tell you? You're not a goose. You get a chill up your spine. Ooh, that must be God. You gotta be careful with that stuff. And if you're looking for feelings, believe me, the devil will give you plenty. He is just looking for any way. And look, can I just say this? Matthew 24 talks about deception in the last days. People, it's going to be so slick that if God didn't shorten the days, there would no flesh be saved. That's the word of God. Jesus Christ said that. No flesh. No flesh. That's pretty serious stuff. Human beings. That's who it's talking about. Human beings. Even the very elect, it said. We have to be so careful. If that's true, if that deception is going to be that quick that there would be no flesh saved, we better have our spiritual senses exercised. We better have discernment. And if you want more discernment, get in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that one of the things about the Word is alive, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder and all that. And it says, lastly, and is a discerner of men's heart and intent. You have to be so careful. Everybody out there is not for God. Many are out there to deceive you. In the New Testament, in Hebrews, this is the circumstantial curse of the bastard. Hebrews 12, verse 5, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, or daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Parents, your children equate discipline with love. You know, I'm surprised sometimes to hear parents talking about beating. You know, I mean, some people were actually beaten. Some people call spanking beating. Spanking is not beating. You know, God gave that little padded bottom so you don't injure the child when you correct them. And, you know, if you can correct them with a word and they mind you, they obey, then there's no need to whip their bottom. But if they don't obey, listen, I had 3 babies in 3 years. I didn't have time to say, 1, 2, 3. No. Come here, let mama put your shoes on. They may be playing. Come here, let mama put your shoes on. If they didn't get up and come let me put their shoes on, I spanked their bottom. Because that's rebellion. It may be very important one day when I say, move. It can mean their life. Your children need to hear your voice and obey, just like we need to hear God's voice and obey quickly. Quickly. Our children were so different after the spanking that every morning we say, should we just wake them up and get it over with? Just whip them when we get them out of the bed? Seriously, because those little boogers, they're going to try your every until you do. You know why? Love me enough, please, to make me stop. That's really what misbehaving is all about. Love me enough to make me stop. Show me that you love me. That's how God is with us. Children who are not disciplined do not feel loved. In fact, they're out of control. You know why? Because it's scary to a child not to be corralled. You know, you just let them go, they don't feel safe. And in this world, you better watch your children, because it's not safe out there. Have you ever seen a wild horse? They have wild horses in America still. What do horses run in? Huh? No, what do you call a herd of horses? Herd. Okay, they still have herds of wild horses out there. You try to find one and ride it. Did you catch it? That's what a wild horse, that's what a child is like. Without discipline, they are like wild horses. A wild horse has no productivity. You can't do anything with them. Now, you get a horse and you break the horse, you can ride him, put a saddle on him, put a bit in his mouth. Now you can go somewhere, but not with a wild horse. Now, I know that there is such a thing medically as attention deficit disorder. I know that if I had taken my first little boy to the doctor, they would have given him Ritalin. You know why? Because he was a normal little boy. Active, mischievous, normal little boy. But if I had taken him to the doctor, I guarantee they would have put him on Ritalin. And sometimes my husband and designer disorders. Whatever the new fad is, it seems like everybody's got it. Everybody. And when that first came out, well, Mike and I would go to the park or go somewhere with our children and watch little children and parents say, well, you'll have to excuse him, he's ADD or ADHD. And my husband and I wondered, what if that could stand for avoided discipline disorder? Let's apply a little discipline and see what happens with that hyperactivity. So in the Old Testament, it was literal and physical. Today, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual curse. The Webster Dictionary definition of bastard. And let me tell you, you know, I am wanting to not only help you get free of this, I want you to know enough about it you can help other people get free of it after you get free of it. And I have learned that definitions can give you, it's a good source of manifestations. You're going to find out what the manifestations are. Here is the definition, Webster Dictionary. Of an inferior atypical kind. Inferior. There's a manifestation. Someone who feels inferior. They have an inferiority complex. I had that terribly. Not having qualities of a higher category. Because of that inferiority, I wasn't good enough to run for cheerleader. Even though there was a desire to run for cheerleader, looked like fun, but that demon would say, you can't run for cheerleader. Nobody would vote for you. That's what that demon does. It keeps you bound up so that you can't be the person God created you to be. Inferior in order, in nature, in dignity, in power, lacking importance. Do you know, actually, there were times that I thought I was invisible. I could be in a room and not one person would speak to me. Of course, did I speak to anybody? No, because I was, who would want to talk to me? That demon would say. You don't want to talk to them. They're, you know. And then, of course, the demon would reinforce that. When Mike and I got married, well, when I was not married and I was with a group of people, they would say, this is Mary, this is Susan, this is Joe, this is so-and-so. And they'd get to me and they'd say, you know Lois Massey, that's her granddaughter. Or, you know Jerry Davidson, that's his sister. It never, ever did they get around to saying who I was. Because I was nobody. That's what that demon was telling. You're not even important enough for them to put a name with you. It's a cruel, cruel spirit. Cruel. In fact, when my brothers left home, both of my brothers went to the Navy. My oldest brother went when I was in the fifth grade. I barely knew him because he was so much older than me. And the other brother was 5 years older, and I knew him too well. I was his whipping post. He liked to beat up on me. He liked to agitate me to a fury. But anyway, he left when I was in junior high school. So after they both left the house, if somebody left the milk out, or if, you know, you didn't put the new roll of toilet paper on the roll or whatever. Oh, somebody didn't put the milk up last night. Somebody didn't put the... And I went to a carnival one time and there was a poster that said, I'm somebody. And I bought it and I put it on my door. I'm somebody. But somebody left me a mail. But somebody who didn't put the door. But anyway, see, if you don't know who you are, this curse can be working in your life. And when I say don't know who you are, I'm not talking about Carla, Mike's wife, the kid's mother, the daughter, the sister. I'm not talking about that. Until I knew who I was in Jesus Christ, I had an identity crisis. In fact, I believe that is the root to the depression that I suffered because I didn't know who I was. So I let the demon identify me. Or, that Jezebel spirit. Oh, she's such mouthy, opinionated, critical, controlling, bossy, all these things. That's who I thought I was. That's who the demons told me I was. Wicked, not fun to be around because of the complaining and the critical spirit and all those things. It's to the point that I hated myself. Oh, there's the ultimate goal Satan wants. He wants you to hate yourself. And I did. I was suicidal. Nobody knew how sick I was. You know why? Well, we'll get to that later. Okay. Inferiority complex, extreme, and if you have this, you'll have extreme timidity. That's why, oh, she's shy. No, she's not shy. God didn't create her to be shy. She's shy because she's got a curse working in her life and a demon telling her not to speak. Or you'll have exaggerated aggressiveness because of your anger. It makes us angry. Those having this curse did not have access to God or the things of God in the Old Testament, separated from God. They were made to feel undeserving and not good enough for God. You know, God loves that one. Look how blessed they are, but he doesn't love me. That's what the demon's right here telling me, Dad, God doesn't love you. Look, in fact, the very thought comes from a demon. Look over there. See how blessed that person is? God loves that person, but he doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. That's what the demons want you to believe. Another definition is alienate, and it means to estrange, to withdraw as the affection, to make indifference or averse. Where love or friendship before subsisted, to alienate the heart or the affections. You know, after a while, when you get rejected, you harden your heart. I don't care if they like me or not. I don't care. You have to harden your heart to keep from being wounded more and more. There's enough hurt there already because you you don't think God loves you, nobody else loves you either. So you withdraw your affections, perhaps. That's that unloving thing. Unable to receive love the way you need to or give love the way you want to. Causes you to be indifferent, detached, lacking passion and intensity. Oh, anything. Have you ever known anybody and you say, what would you like to have for lunch? Oh, anything. Well, would you rather have a hot dog or a hamburger? It doesn't matter. What's wrong with you? Don't you have a preference? Surely you have a preference. Well, that could be a manifestation of the bastard curse. You always feel like a stranger and you're isolated. People with this spirit will be loners many times, all to themselves. Listen, in the Old Testament, not only were they not able to go into the congregation of the Lord, they were sent to live in a different city, like a leper. Zechariah 9:6 says, "And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod." You look up, it was an actual place. Ashdod was a city. The definition, here again, looking for manifestations of this curse. Ashdod means ravager, one who practices ravaging. What's that? Ravage means damage resulting from ravaging, to lay waste, to plunder, destroy, destruction, looting. You know those people that are looting all the time? You let a hurricane hit or something and there's no, the windows are all blown out and people are just running in there and just grabbing what they can. That's called looting, theft, the act of stealing, in law, the private, unlawful, felonious taking of another person's good or movable with an intent to steal them. Many people who commit these crimes, and you know, Friday night I started to tell y'all the three things that you can do with demons. If they're not cast out, that first one, and then I chased a rabbit and never got back to the other two. The first one was medicated. The second one is punish it. The person who has these spirits that do these things continually, even when they don't want to, it's like they have, there's a power in them that drives them to do it even though they don't want to, they get thrown in jail. And their demons go in jail with them. And they don't have problems with those demons while they're in jail, because they're locked up. They can't manifest until that person comes out of jail, and then they can go right back. That's why we have a revolving door in the prison system. And the fact that they don't really care whether you get free of that thing or not. It's all for money. Everything. Everything seems to be the bottom shelf of everything is the dollar bill. That's what drives them. You know, once you get into that system, it is like a sticky spider web that you can never get out of. My son, who has been in and out of that system, okay, so he's out of jail right now, okay? All of his charges were dismissed. That's the grace of God. I was almost angry at that. It's like, when is he going to be held accountable for these things, you know? And while I was thinking these things, I heard a scripture. It is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. The goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. I forgot that one. God reminded me. He's after my son. God is after my son. But guess what? So is the devil. There is a war going on in the heavens over his life. And I'm calling on Michael the Archangel daily to come and do warfare over my children's lives for the battle that's going on for their souls. So he's out of jail, right? Well, they're not going to let him drive. He got a DUI. They're not going to let him drive. He thought he was going to prison, okay? He knows that it was the goodness of God that he's not sitting in prison today. But he can't have a driver's license till 2021. How is he supposed to get back and forth to work? You know, they almost force them right back into driving without a license. And I mean, I'm not making excuses for him, but really, how are these people supposed to make a living if they can't get to and from work? And that's not the only one that's insane, but anyway, you'll have to find a way. I told him, I said, go talk to them and see, pray first. Let me just tell y'all that. If you've got to go talk to somebody about something, pray first. Father, I'm asking you to send your Holy Spirit ministering angels before me to prepare their heart, to hear what I have to say, and then, you know, respond accordingly, not just a off the cuff, because they have the power to say whatever. Prayer changes things. So these people were sent to live in another place. Now, those are also some manifestations. People that tear stuff up all the time. You know, you can buy something brand new for people who have this. Listen, they build brand new, beautiful facilities for low income, and in 6 months the windows are busted out, the curtains are hanging out the window, the cars out in front, all their windshields are busted, and it's a curse. It's not a type of people or even their income. The income has something to do with it. But many times, it's because they don't feel worthy to have anything good. So they don't keep it clean. You know, the house is a wreck. It's a curse. And it needs to be broken. Ask me afterwards, please. If you don't mind. Thank you very much. So, this ravaging, it suggests violent, often repeated, or continuing depredation or ruin, which is how we see most poverty-stricken people. Poverty is a curse as well. Deuteronomy 28, you can read them. The curses in there. There's a long list of them. This curse needs to be broken. Okay. And the goal, Satan's goal in operating in this curse is to keep you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. That's the most damaging thing. And it does, and it will keep you from fulfilling your call. In today's society, there are more children born out of wedlock than there are born to married men and women today. And people don't understand that this curse, which is probably in their life generationally inherited, but now on their children, and they don't understand the consequences that are going to come about from perpetuating the curse. It was probably 15 years ago. I don't know if it might have been longer than that, but I told my husband when I learned about this, because of all the children being born out of wedlock, we're going to see an outbreak of evil in 15 or 20 years like we have never seen before. Because they will be godless. They have no respect for God, for other people, for themselves. Now, it can also come upon, in my case, my uncle came to visit Ernie Marzullo. He is Frank Marzullo Sr.'s brother. And he had not seen me since I was 6 months old, and now I was 30. So he walks around my house, and he's praying. And he says, can I pray for you? He said, well, sure. You know, I came out of the Methodist church. I sat down, bowed my head very quietly and reverently. And he goes, in the name of Jesus. And he starts casting out demons. And I'm like, I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. Except that he did mention Jezebel, and the only thing I knew about her was she was bad. and the illegitimate spirit. And I was like, what? I said, Uncle Ernie, I'm the baby of my family. My mom and dad have been married for years. And he said, I know. But listen, the Holy Ghost said the illegitimate spirit. You don't argue with the Holy Ghost. Then he started explaining it to me. It can come from an unwanted pregnancy, a pregnancy that is not wanted but maintained. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you don't want to be pregnant, but you go ahead and have the baby. That was my grandmother. He had no way of knowing that. It's the only time in my life that the hair on the back of my neck actually stood up. Because he didn't know my grandmother. He didn't know my mother's, you know, lineage. But after he started the insecurity, jealous, what was some others? Suspicious. He started naming all of these things that go along with it. And I was like, oh, me, my aunt, my grandmother, you know, you can see it in the bloodline. So he broke that and cast it out. And then later when I got healed, well, no, actually I'd already been healed of depression. And that was with an encounter with Jesus when he just poured his love into me. And I'm telling you, all that was gone in an instant. So God can do that for you too. So if you've been pregnant and wish that you weren't, just ask God to forgive you right now. And then break that bastard curse off of your children, not to their face. They wouldn't understand it. Go to their bedroom at night and say, I bind and break the power of that bastard curse in the name of Jesus, and I command the bastard spirit and all those spirits that go along with it, get out of my child in Jesus' name. And I loose the love of God. See, when you bind and cast something out, put something back, loose the love of God. You feel like an orphan? It's an orphan spirit. It's an illegitimate spirit. It's a abandonment, spirit of abandonment, because you feel abandoned because you don't feel loved. It can also happen in an untimely pregnancy. Let's say you have two or three babies year after year, and then you get pregnant again, and it's hard to be happy about that. And many children are conceived under those circumstances. Or if a woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, she looks at her options, and abortion is one. Abortion. Now, they may think about it. They may wish they could do it, but they can't bring themselves to do it. That spirit comes in, so it could be causing problems for your child. Or maybe that's the way you were born. And if you need to know more about that abortion spirit, you can go to lhbconline.com and scroll down to my name and look for secret sins. That breaks down that abortion spirit a lot more. If you're not disciplined properly, you can have this spirit. If you're not nurtured properly, you can have this spirit. If you were physically, mentally, or emotionally, verbally, or sexually abused, most people who have experienced those things have this bastard curse working in their life. If you were sexually abused, raped, or molested, or incest within your family line, you can go to LHBC Online and look for Desolation Curse of Tamar. That will deal with all of those spirits. If you were separated from your mom or dad by death, divorce, in my case with my son, he was born a little bit prematurely. He had fluid in his lungs. They took him from me and rushed him to a nearby hospital. And my doctor wouldn't let me out of the hospital for 3 days. Now see, that's when I thought I was an obedient girl. So I thought I had to obey everybody. Anybody who was in authority, I obeyed them. And if I would have known what that was going to do to my baby, I would have said, you're not keeping me from my baby, I'm going. So he was 3 days without his mama. You know, when a baby is inside your womb and he hears your voice, he hears the sound of your heartbeat, and then all of a sudden he doesn't hear it, you think that baby doesn't feel abandoned? We just don't have any idea how these things work and how the demons are right there waiting for their opportunity. Maybe death by one of the parents or divorce. One or other leaves the home. It could be going off to the military. Any form of abandonment can cause children to have this spirit. children of alcoholic parents, drug addict parents, workaholics, you know, they're there, but they're not. They're out to lunch. They're drugged or drunk. That has an effect on children. Maybe you are that parent. If you are, just ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you. And if your children are old enough, ask them to forgive you too. I don't think they can be too young. You know, little babies have understand. They can sense when you're angry. They can sense when you're joyous. They can sense when you're happy or, you know, they are, they're sensitive, little children. This all comes across as rejection to a child. Rejection by mom, rejection by dad, rejection by siblings, teachers, classmates. We've all experienced some rejection. This is deep-seated rejection. Classmates, rejection by husband or wife, rejection by pastors or church brothers and sisters. You can have self-rejection. You reject your own self. Called self-hatred. So what do? We have a false personality to be accepted. That's what peer pressure is all about. You're more liable to give in to that peer pressure because you'll do anything to be accepted. Or you go into this false personality with delusions of grandeur. I've heard some people tell me stories that I'm just thinking, what? But delusions of grandeur. They live in a false world all of their own. And in their world, they are important and worthy to be loved and love themselves. Maybe it goes overboard, but, you know, narcissistic. Or they live in a fantasy world. Sometimes they're sickly if they have this bastard curse. It may be a real or it may be imagined. All they know is it gets them attention. If they're sick, mama tends to pay more attention or daddy pays more attention. So they find out early that they just need to get sick in order to feel that worth. Most people with this spirit, I describe them this way. I used to be this. A deep, dark hole of need. And I don't care how much you pour into it, it's not enough. You just need more and more and more and more. They cannot receive goodness from others because they don't feel deserving. And many people who have this rejection will behave in a way to cause you to reject them. And then the demon says, see, they don't like you either. Or they'll be so obnoxious, you don't want to be around them. I believe that people who dress in goth, you know, people who dye their hair ridiculous colors and or they're tattooed all over or they're unclean, they don't keep their hygiene, that's so people will shun them. So then it's that they're rejecting us. They aren't rejecting me. They're rejecting me because I smell bad, or they're rejecting me because I'm obnoxious or whatever. I believe this is what pushes many young people to gangs because they don't fit in anywhere. So all of these that don't fit in anywhere have their own little family and brother. They are loyal to each other. They may have self-destructive behaviors and bondages to anesthetize the pain. In real extreme cases, you know, you've heard of cutters. People will take a razor blade and slice their skin because the pain of that at least alleviates the emotional pain that they're so caught up with, so suffering with. Or eating disorders, anorexia. That demon tells them they don't even deserve to eat. And they'll starve themselves. And then there's that lying thing going on, telling them, It is always critical. You're too fat. You shouldn't eat. You're fat. Look at you in the mirror. You're hideous. You're fat. You know. So there's the mistreatment from the demons there. So then they won't eat. Or they eat too much to comfort themselves. Call it comfort food. It's to anesthetize the pain. They'll get drunk just to forget about the pain. They'll do drugs to escape from the pain. That's what the cutting is. That's what excessive piercing is all about. Gotta go get a fix. Let's get another hole in our ear. Or let's get the belly button pierced. Or let's get the eyebrow pierced. Or the nose pierced. Or the lips pierced. Or the chin pierced. Where does it stop? And it's addictive. It's not that the piercing is addictive, but the pain. You know, the argument, marijuana is not addictive. No, but the high is. I don't even know if that's a true statement that marijuana is not addictive. But the high is addictive. They like that feeling. So they want to stay high. I'll tell you what though, there's a stupid spirit attached to that marijuana. It'll just make you stupid and lazy and don't care. I don't want to work, man. I can't smoke my marijuana and go to work. We had this delivery guy come in the office. My son was arrested for marijuana. And he would come in and say, well, what's he up to now? I said, well, he got arrested for marijuana. Well, what you need to do is just get you some weed and sit down and smoke it with him. I said, have you lost your mind? It's against the law. What's wrong with you? Well, he knows that I'm a Bible person. Yeah, but didn't God give every green herb? And I said, oh, all you potheads know that one scripture. And cocaine. Poppies. And everything's natural. So is horse manure. Come on, y'all. Use your brain. God gave you some good sense. That brings me to another manifestation of the bastard curse is arrested development. You just don't want to grow up. You want to stay young, and of course the dope, the drugs, the alcohol, whatever your addiction is, trauma can cause you to have arrested development. Disasters, a bad accident, all kinds of things can cause it. It can be generationally inherited. Your daddy may have had arrested development because of something, and then that something doesn't happen to you, but guess what? That spirit came in, and now it's being passed down to you. Arrested development, which can cause learning disabilities. That needs to go. That is widespread in our country. Okay, so people feel unworthy to be loved even by God. And chronic tardiness. Never, ever on time. You know why? Because they'll get noticed if they come in late. Never on time. And because of the emotional pain, they will build an impenetrable wall of self-protection around themselves. Usually anger, bitter, resentful, full of unforgiveness. Won't let anybody in, therefore they lack intimacy. Oppression, depression. Oh, and this one, the ugly spirit. You don't deserve to look good. I remember when I had this, you know, a new style would come out, and I would really, really like it. And that demon would say, you can't wear that. That's not for you. And so, you know, I would just be stuck in the style forever. I've been free to that. I can wear what I want to now, what I like, and that demon doesn't rule me anymore. Then they have fear of man. You're scared of everything because you know you're going to get rejected. I went to one semester of college, and I was required to take speech for what I was going to do. First, I was going to go for, I always wanted to be a teacher. It was in me. I just didn't know there was anything other than a school teacher. So I was going to college, and they took me through orientation and through a room that had a two-way glass or a one-way glass or I guess it was two-way. There was a camera behind the glass that you couldn't see from the classroom, and you would have to get up in front of your peers and, you know, practice being a teacher. Well, I got out of that. I can't get up in front of people. And then I went to secretarial science, and then I had to take speech. I didn't go to any of my speech classes. I could not stand up in front of people. And look what I do today. See? I was bound up, not able to do. It can keep you from the call of God on your life. So we need to get rid of this spirit, that fear of man. Okay, so then you become a perfectionist because everything's got to be perfect. Perfectionism is way up in there. Performance-oriented. Many children who are performance-oriented, they have to work in order for people to feel, they have to do that in order to feel accepted and get the high praises of people. Then they feel worthy. So they become man-pleasers and compromisers in order to fit in. Then there's the escapism, the false refuges, the idolatry. It says we're supposed to run into the Lord. He is our refuge. But if you have this spirit, you can't run to the Lord because he doesn't even want you. That's what the demon tells you. That's when you go into the drugs, the alcohol, or you become a gambler, or you bury yourself in video games, or Facebook, or whatever. You can just crawl into a machine and be there. Or you have excessive body improvement, sexual addictions. Many times they go looking for love in all the wrong places. Have multiple marriages because, of course, you're rejected. They don't love you, so you don't stay married. You don't try to make it work. You just go to the next one and the next one and the next one, and you bring all your baggage with you. So it's just a repeat of the other failed relationships. Or you can turn to pornography. That'll make you feel good. You can live vicariously through the people you see on the screen, get all their demons too. Or you bury yourself in books all the time, reading novels, romance novels, and let me tell you, there are familiar spirits in those books. I had one attach itself to me when I read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I like a good mystery. Well, wouldn't you know, they made her to be a bisexual.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.